Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Net Gains, our podcast by Paddle Stars, where we talk about paddle, business and startups. And today we've invited one of Paddle Stars' investor directors onto the show to understand a little bit why you've chosen to invest in the paddle market. And also, we felt that Tris would be a really, really great guest based on his own experiences of launching a startup and scaling it across the UK.
Well, I think my backstory actually was as a soldier originally. And then when I left the army, I thought, what do I want to do? And I tried working for other people for about 2 or 3 years. And I think both parties realized that wasn't going to end well. And then I thought, what do I really like doing? And I thought I like mucking about in the woods. And I wanted to be home for breakfast and tea time because I had a young baby. And I just thought, I don't want to be getting back at 7:30 after she's gone to bed. And so I thought I had to set up my own business. And I've always enjoyed adventures. And running your own business is a huge adventure. Mm. And Go Ape was the beginning of that. And I think I've always quite liked sort of thinking, what does big look like? What does success look like? I think the military was quite helpful in trying to work out about strategic aims. And so from the very beginning, I thought, well, we might not get there, but what would great look like? And we had sort of set ourselves in our minds of 25 sites within about 10 years. And in the UK, we have 37 sites.
Yeah.
And we're in 16 states in the US.
Wow. And did you do this alone, or did you have a partner in crime on this journey?
Well, I found it on my own. And then my wife was always very involved with that, but she had a sort of sensible job and we needed that for a period of time.
Yeah.
But after the first 6 months, she gave that up and then came in and started doing that. And then I got a great mate from the army who I said, how much money have you got? And he said, well, in the whole world, it was X. And I said, well, look, I'd like half of that because it's probably going to fail, in which case, you know, you need something to start again with. But I don't know what I can pay you or when I can pay you, but whatever I do, it'll be the same as whatever I pay myself. And so he came in and there were, in the end, four of us. I got my brother involved as well, but we never took any external investors. And we grew it through just piling it all back in and...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was all rather organic, but good fun. I loved it. Really good fun. I'm still involved with that now, but now I feel like I'm a grandparent of Go Ape as opposed to hands-on parent. It's now an employee ownership trust like John Lewis.
Mm. And what does an employee ownership trust mean?
It means we transferred 90% of the shares into trust for all current and future employees. They asked if we would retain 10%, so it looked like we hadn't just walked away. But we're no longer involved in the day-to-day running of it, but we're still involved as trustees. And so our role is to be there for all the fun stuff and all the, you know, day-to-day boring stuff. Everybody else is running that, so it's perfect arrangement.
Yeah. And what does it feel like now, sort of, I guess, looking in through the window at your baby as it continues and it continues to evolve?
Well, I think I'm pleased you said, you know, using the analogy like a baby, because Go Ape was like our business child. It, you know, we reared it, and through the stages of development, you need to be really hands-on at the beginning, and then as it grows up, it doesn't need you quite so much, and you need to let it make its own decisions. And I felt like, I think it felt like it was, my children are all university age now, or just after. So none of them have got married yet, but it felt like it was ready to get married. And then I imagine when your daughter or your son gets married, you can't be there telling them what to do and making all the decisions. They're ready to make their own mistakes. And in fact, Go Ape, since we transferred it into employee ownership 3 years ago, is doing great. I'm super proud of how it's going, how the team are, you know, responding, and I think they're doing a brilliant job. And I think they're the best people to ensure that the values and ethos that we put a lot of energy into creating, you know, specifically trying to be not like other companies. We wanted to be the perfect place that we wanted to work and other people would work at. And I think they are the best custodians for that. I think if we'd sold it and it went to you know, people who buy companies, I'm even with their best intentions, I think the culture would change. Mm. And I think we'd feel a bit crap about having done that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we didn't have to.
And obviously, what have you been doing with your free time since?
Well, I don't like the R word. People say, so what's it like to be retired?
Yeah, and I don't use that.
So my dad died about 10 years ago, and he always said, look, life is about the contribution you make. He was never interested in money. His brother was killed in the war, and he always felt he had to live two lives to make sense of that. And I was very proud of him. So I sort of felt you should make a contribution, and whatever that might be. So for the last 10 years, I've been very involved in our sort of community in the sailing village I live in. Mm. And my wife and I, we've been involved in running that on a volunteer basis. I ran the cadet side, so the under 25 side of the sailing club, and I've really found that very rewarding. And then I've got a few sort of messages from people saying, oh, look, we're thinking about setting up as a leisure, sporty, adventure-type business in whatever field. And could we have a chat? And I said, I'm always open to have a chat. And then a few of them have said, oh, would you get involved? How would we get you involved? And I decided that I'd only want to work with people who I trusted and respected. And the difficulty, if you don't know people, how do you know whether they're going to do the right thing and act with integrity and be good people to work with? Anyway, Paddle Stars is one of them. Jamie and Andy got in touch, and I really liked them, and we built a bit of a relationship. And so I got involved with that and invested pre-launch, joined the board. And basically, there are a bunch of businesses that I'm involved with, or not that many, two or three, where it seems to be my role is, don't do these mistakes that we made, you know.
Yeah.
And that's really good fun. And I'm not having to do full time or anything like it. I like the energy of getting involved with people starting their adventures in the business world. But also, whilst I've got knees and hips, my wife and I are so keen to do more biking, more walking, some other stuff. Been out to Ukraine about 7 times in the last 3 years, or 9 times between the two of us. And good stuff. And our children are an age now where they are doing their own adventures. And my middle child is in Azerbaijan at the moment.
Oh, wow.
And in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going out to take a bike out to him. And then we're going to go to Samarkand, and I'm flying out to Tashkent. Not quite sure where it is, but it's one of the stars. You know, we're going to do shit, and it's going to be fun.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, you just embody the culture of Go Ape, it seems like. It, you know, all I'm hearing is you're someone that takes life by the horns, and you are literally living it like an adventure, you know, every day.
Well, your Go Ape's motto is, you know, creating adventures and encouraging everyone to live life more adventurously. And I wrote that. I do think, I don't always live it, but I do think that if you live life boldly, it's more interesting. And to push yourself out of your comfort zone is a good thing. I think I'm probably settling back slightly too much into my comfort zone, but I'm aware of that. And so I sort of want to say yes when things happen, but it's great fun encouraging other people to branch out of their comfort zone too. So that's why I like being involved in early stage businesses.
And you mentioned that it's really important to you when you're investing in business that you want to do it with people that you trust. This opportunity with Paddle Stars, like what drew you to Andy and Jamie, and what, how did the opportunity come about? Can you share your backstory around that, please?
Well, as I say, I think they approached, I think one of them had been at university with friends of ours near where we live, and they got in contact with him, and he said, I think you should speak to the Go Ape guys and put us in touch. And so I had a chat, and I think from that, there seemed to be quite a lot of sort of shared experience that they thought might be quite relevant. And I like what I I enjoyed the conversation. And then I did quite a lot of due diligence into their people, you know, references of theirs. And what came across really strongly was that they were passion driven. You know, they had a lot of useful business experience from their previous careers, but they were really, they came alive when they were talking about Paddle. And I think anything that I think is successful that I want to be involved with needs to be passion driven, because I'm not interested in financial rewards for their own sake. But I think any business needs to be successful. But the chance, you've got a much better chance of being successful if you really love what you're doing. And that came across strongly with them. And of course, Paddle itself is a fantastically fun thing to be around. And it's lots of generically good things about it. It's healthy. It makes you smile more. It makes you laugh. Brings people together. Mm. It's social. You know, it's a great thing. And it's an easy thing to understand.
Yeah.
And I only will get involved with things where I feel I've got some shared experience, and it's obviously relatable and related in some way to Go 8, which is an outdoor adventure, sport, healthy type pastime.
And what does your role on the board look like? You know, what does that mean, day to day or month to month?
Well, it's very part time. I think Andy and Jamie and you and the rest of the team have totally got it now. You're away, you know what you're doing. I think really in the early days, what I probably helped was giving a bit of confidence in, I think neither Jamie or Andy had set up their own business before. And that can be daunting. But I think I just said, look, you know, give it a go and you're on it and go for it. And so a bit of encouragement was probably helpful. I brought in some money to help get it launched. And I think also just having the name of Go Ape on the investor table was helpful when bringing other investors in. And I've introduced some other investors as well, who said, if you're interested, you're into it, Tris, then we will be as well. Beyond that, I'm not quite sure what else I've usefully added, but I really enjoy being part of the conversations. I suppose because one of the other businesses Go 8 got involved with in early days is we opened the second trampoline park in the country, and we invested quite a lot of money into opening four or five of those, and we were really proud of how we did it and what we did. We thought we could do this better than other people might be able to do so. And we're good at managing risk in terms of making sure people do things which are risky, but safely. But actually, that was not successful. We managed to get out of that business with our shirts, but we basically took a big haircut, which is a polite way of saying we lost a lot of money. and in fact, the Financial Times got in touch and said, look, we're running a competition on entrepreneur type things, and we would like you to enter, and we're going to be judging it, and we'd like you to. And I said, well, unless the criteria for being entrepreneur of the FT entrepreneur is turning 7 million quid into 4 million quid, then I'm not your guy, because that's what we did. In fact, I think it might have been 7 million to 3 million quid quite rapidly. And essentially with that, we thought it's going to be a growth industry, and we were very early into, we opened the second one in the UK. But within a couple of years, there were 200, and suddenly it was like it was a bloodbath. There were, centres opening up all over the place. And, it was very attractive to start off with, and then all a bit desperate when there were just too many centres. So I suppose with Paddle Stars, there's potential for Paddle becoming a bit like that. And so I feel like I'm a bit of the dull, cautious one in the room in those conversations, saying, look, I know it's going great at the moment, and I'm really proud of what Paddle Stars is achieving and how we're doing it, and the culture, the ethos, the team. I think that's exceptional. But I am wary that there could be, other centres opening up just by ours, and there's too much supply in a couple of years. But so far, so good. But
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
I think it's always important to have That voice of reason.
But I think paddle will be around for a long time. People will play paddle, but you know, some countries are still thriving and growing, and others have got into that place where I'm worried we could get to in the UK, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we're a little bit off. I think planning will keep that, the planning process will keep that at bay for a few years or so.
Yeah, I think quite often what you think are hurdles at the time, you actually can be quite useful, because if it's hard for us and we're already going, it's really hard for other people.
I guess that's, I mean, that you've touched on it a little bit. So in your opinion, what are the biggest challenges and opportunities that where you think we as paddle stars and other paddle operators might face as we grow?
Well, I think you've got to make sure that every site you open is really good. You know, so you mustn't start to settle for good enough.
Yeah.
Or sites which you don't feel proud of. And that can be the partner you're partnering with. If you think they're a bit, they don't share the same values as you, the same ethos. I think you want to be sure that everywhere you open, you feel like this is a place that I would be excited to go to myself.
Yeah.
And that's everything from, you know, the entrance to, you know, the beginning of the driveway, the quality of the loos and the coffee that's available. You just want to make sure that you think this is a place where I would like to spend time and with my friends, and not to compromise, even if you think, well, if we don't do it, somebody else will. But I think trust your gut and only do stuff you feel proud of with people who you trust and respect. And I think that's not just within Paddle Stars, but I think it's with our partners, making sure that we think that they're invested in the same sort of cultural ethos that we want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Which I think we're doing, but it can be tempting to go, oh, this is a great site in an area. We're looking for somewhere. We haven't found it. Not quite sure about the partner, but we're going to go for it. I think that would probably be a mistake. And I think the other thing is to, you know, you need to be growing and going forward, but I think also making sure everyone you hire, you feel that they're proper ambassadors for what we're trying to achieve, that they are not just about, that they are really thinking about providing an exceptional customer experience because they genuinely like making people feel better. So a lot of people talk about customer experience as if it's like a sort of formula, but in fact, it's as simple as anything. It's treating people how you would like to be treated yourself. And some people genuinely like doing that. It makes them feel better if they really look after people. Not in a cheesy way, but they just like making people smile. And those are the people we need to attract and hold on to. And anybody who doesn't think that's important, we'd much rather they went and worked for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Or, as I heard somebody say, listening to John Timpson, the founder, or at least I think his father may have founded, of Timpson's Group, he said, if you've got people who don't really share that ethos, you need to have a conversation to help them find their happiness somewhere else.
The other thing I remember you sharing with me, I think when I started with Paddle Stars, you were talking to me about the importance of, it goes back to what you're saying about not compromising and that inner voice. So, and about at times there were sites that you turned away because it just did not feel like your inner voice was telling you this isn't right. This is not right for the brand.
Well, I think that's true. I think also, you know, our values include, I mean, they're sort of encompassed by doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But also being socially and environmentally responsible, but not preachy. So these are GO8 values, but these are values that I wrote down. We didn't get a marketing agency to come and do that. It has to be authentic. And so there are a couple of times where actually we felt that GO8 was not right. The landlord wanted it. Our customers were saying, come here. And then we felt it was going to impact local residents too much. And we thought, actually, I don't think this is the right thing to do. We would love to do it. It'd be a successful site for us, but it's not the right thing to do. So we walked away. And occasionally, so there was famously a, planning application in Pollock Park in Glasgow. And we hadn't been told, the council owned the land. They asked us in, said we'd like to go ape there. But there was, I mean, it wasn't far short of a riot at the planning application meeting. There were 400 people in the room, and it was an education. It was, but basically there had been a battle over some previous planning application the council had forced through, and there already was a sort of stop the council type friend group,
yeah,
Save Pollock Park group. And we realised that if we did try and get it built there, because the council forced it through, we got planning permission, but we thought A, it would be cut down every night. We'd have people out there with sort of axle grinders, and B, it just felt like not the right thing to do. So we quietly sort of backed away from that one.
Yeah.
And it felt like the right thing to do. I think if you've got values, you've got to look after them, and you know, you can't ignore them.
Yeah. And do you know, what other similarities do you see between building a brand like Go Ape and us growing Paddle Stars? You know, seeing that paddle is still a relatively new market in the UK.
Well, the difference is that Go Ape got going and then became, you know, the major player. It was very, I mean, most people can't really think of a competitor to Go Ape. No. They talk about it as a thing. Even when they've been to other people's sort of high ropes courses, they say, I've done Go Ape, even if it isn't Go Ape.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. I think the similarity, though, is that it's the brand feeling. If you get that right, you don't really have to do much marketing, because people will tell people on Monday morning after they've been doing Go Ape at the weekend, they'll say, oh, do you know, I did it at the weekend and it was really great, and they were really great when we first arrived, and I had somebody who was really nervous and they understood that, saw that and helped them through. And I think if we get that same sort of culture where people think that how we do paddle, the culture and the welcoming and the friendliness of it, that will then be, I think that's very similar to Go Ape, and people will just become ambassadors. Our customers will be ambassadors for us and say, I think Paddle Stars is really great. And they'll start talking about our centres in a way that will be a huge competitive advantage. And so it's not about doing everything as cheaply as possible, which might be some model that other companies might go down, the sort of pure gym type model. But I think we're trying to build something which is feels more inclusive and a more
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your answer to that question?
I agree. It actually, you know, hearing you say that is very much, these are discussions we're having regularly in our boardroom or our Monday workload meetings. And I think it's taken this getting to, you know, now that we're sort of going, you know, fourth club to fifth club to sixth club, these is becoming more apparent and more key in our decision making and the look and feel of our sites. We're actually going back and fixing some early ones because so that they kind of feel like the roadmap or the journey that we feel that we're on now. And it's taken a while to find and define that voice. But I think when I joined Paddle Stars, there was just, you know, it was Andy, Jamie and I. And now, along with part-timers and self-employed coaches, there's like 35 people. so it, I think that also is feeding into a sense of who we are and what we want to be. Like the more people that are joining our community.
I think it's important to give airtime to this, work out who do we want to be,
yeah,
who do we not want to be is also important. I've spent a lot of dodgy times going around looking at sort of potential Go Ape sites, and I spent a lot of time inspecting loos.
Yeah.
Because if the loos are rubbish, and if Gran comes along and she has a horrible time because the loos are filthy, you know, that's all that would be remembered of the day. Because do you remember the time when Gran just said the loos are filthy? So you've got to go and do that. And I've, there are certain places where I've sort of attracted a bit of attention because why is this chap spending a lot of time checking out he's in dodgy parts of London or whatever.
So you still do that frequently? Like, I love that. So is there like a audit that you're still spot checking sites?
Well, all the sites in the UK, I was in charge. Well, I went round and did the sort of site survey and the yes, do we or green light or not. And I was involved with pretty much every design as well. And then in the US as well, I've been stopped by state troopers walking into the woods with other men going into the woods looking at and that attracted attention. And I had to explain, no, we're doing a reconnaissance for a Go Ape high wire type course sort of stuff. And that's why we're wandering off into the woods. But yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, if you say you want to do something you're proud of, you can't just do it on a desktop exercise or looking at a map. You've got to go and look it out and think, can we do something really extraordinary here? Similarly with, I mean, one of the other businesses I'm involved with is called The Font, and it's indoor bouldering, so yeah, climbing without harnesses. And we are growing in London, and very similar, two guys climbed in their free time, and they said, oh, we'd really like to set this up. And they have got two, now three sites in the offing going. But we're trying to think, well, how can we be different to everybody else? And it's all about the atmosphere and the culture. But also we're trying to create something which is going to be the pathway for future elite climbers to come in. And the Olympic champion, Toby Roberts, trains at our centre, as well as others.
Yeah.
But we're trying to say, how do we make a home for the Olympic champion? And surely other people will want to train alongside and climb alongside the Olympic champion. So I think trying to work out how can you be brilliant and make that a point of difference to the competitors is, it's the right thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. And I think it'd be boring not to try to do that. So I think having big, hairy plans is a really healthy thing to do. And if you don't quite achieve them, then you've probably done a lot more than just doubling the business.
Yeah. No, I love a stretch goal.
Yeah.
Let's have a stretch goal.
And it sounds fun. And it's, yeah.
I mean, we do that when we have our Christmas do. Every year we've done it. How many sites do you think we'll have this time when we're sat around the table?
But I think another
you'll
thing
see who has a stretch goal.
So that reminds me, when I was sort of early days in Go Ape, and we were, you know, saying each year we're going to open five sites this year, and I suddenly realised I was wishing my life away because I was so desperate to get to Christmas. Say, did we do it? Did we not? And then I went, whoa.
Enjoy the journey.
You've got to learn to really enjoy today.
Yeah.
You've got to, because it is about today. You know, you've got to enjoy the journey, exactly as you say. And I really had to concentrate, you know, to do that, because I was, you get a bit obsessed with the ambition, and I thought that was beginning to get a bit unhealthy. And it's all about today. Got to enjoy today. And I had to train myself to do that a little bit.
And what failure or challenge in your journey do you think has taught you the most valuable lesson?
Well, I mean, there's that Kipling's If poem. Not Kipling's If. There is something written by President Roosevelt in, I think, 1923, when visiting the Sorbonne. And he basically said, success and failure are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter whether you succeed or fail. Obviously, it's probably better if you succeed. But it's being in the fight, in the arena, and struggling is the key thing. You've got to sort of struggle and put yourself out there. And even if you fail, then at least you will know what it feels like to try and fail. And don't get to the end of your life where you feel like you never really tried because you were too worried about the potential failure, I think. And I think that's true. I think, and you will know this through your own setting up your own businesses. There are some people who, when people say, should I set up my own business or should I not? I sort of say, well, if you put everything in, you lost everything, would that destroy you? Or would not trying destroy you?
Mm.
Because that's the answer. Because if you think, oh no, I couldn't lose everything, well, you know, work for somebody else and take a salary, and that's probably the right thing for you. But if you think, I just would feel like I've let myself down if I never tried that thing I always wanted to do, but I was too timid to go for it, then I think, for me, the decision was to jump in.
Yeah.
And for me, I wanted to go all in, burn my bridges, so I could only go forward.
I also think, like, it's the lens that you kind of look at the word failure or mistake through, because everyone's going to make mistakes. And I think it's like another thing that we talk about. I'm like, all startups are going to, especially when you're in a new marketplace, you're going to make mistakes, and there's going to be failures along the way. But ultimately, you want to kind of get them out the way quickly when you're small enough to deal with them, confront them, go over them, around them,
yeah,
and then move forward. So, I mean, as long as there's a learning from it and it's, you know, doesn't become like a repeated pattern, I think there's something quite healthy in it if you look at it through that.
I totally agree. Look, I think, so good to call that out, that success and failure. I totally agree that, I mean, if you're not making enough decisions quickly enough, it's totally cool, I think, to make 3 or 4 or 5 out of 10 decisions which aren't the right ones. But as long as you are making decisions and before you've got all the information, you can outcompete people, because if they're too cautious and they want more data and they think, well, I'm not sure about this, you know, you can. I think larger companies are very bad at taking the most of opportunities. So I think having a quick decision-making cycle, being prepared to make decisions when you haven't got all the information, is really healthy, and it's a competitive advantage. And inevitably, some of those decisions will be wrong, but you can correct them and go again. I think I love the thing that you said there about getting over or getting round or whatever. I think if you're running your own business, it is very liberating, because you don't have to wait for somebody else to decide what to do.
Yeah.
You get better at using your instinct or trusting your instinct. Can't quite remember what the question was, but I know that you've got this because you've done this yourself a bunch of times.
But I'm not the one in the hot seat. You are.
Well, yeah.
Turn the tables. So what habits and routines do you have now that keep you sharp and grounded as an entrepreneur? And
well, I don't think I'm sharp. I think I'm probably reasonably grounded.
You keep us all sharp.
I think for me, I need water in my life. I'm lucky enough to look across the harbour every morning. I like getting on the water, in the water, walking beside the water. So yeah. I like being by the sea. So I windsurf, I row competitively, and I, you know, dog likes to swim. Yeah, I don't know. So I think working out what brings you joy in life, and realizing what is key to you, I think is a great thing to look towards. I think my stage in life, I want to be as healthy as I can be without being puritanical about it. So I'm trying to stay sort of fit and flexible. And I've trapped some sort of nerve. So when I get up at this chair, I'll be pushing this up, but hopefully that's short term lived. And I think from a business perspective, I think just sticking to your investment criteria. In my case, it's only invest in things that you sort of feel like you've got some shared experience over. So the sort of venture, leisure, sport area.
Yeah.
Working with people you trust and respect. People who you feel you get on with pretty, you know, you just like spending time with, who give you energy, who you feel like you may be able to share some energy with. Doing things which are fun. I mean, life is far too short to do stuff which you're bored by. I don't know. I think trying to stay curious and being not thinking you've got all the answers. I've always been very suspicious of anybody who considers themselves or as an expert, I would probably go nowhere near them. Anybody who says they're an expert, with the exception possibly of medical profession. I'd probably rather have somebody who knows what they're doing on that one. But I don't know. I don't think I'm anything other than a B grader, B plus for effort. But I've learned that, you know, B graders, if they give it large and they do something they're passionate about, then more often than not, they've got a very strong chance of being successful.
The conversation is like the time has flown. So we have to close with some parting words. And I'd love to end with you giving sort of some parting words, some advice to someone who is looking to build a purpose-driven startup in today's market. Like, what would be your top tips if you were starting out today?
Well, I think starting out today is a great time to do it. I would, you know, when I had a couple of other business ideas before Go Ape, and I asked people who I respected and who I thought knew about things, and they pointed out, they said, well, A, you don't have any experience, B, this has never been done before, and you know, and they dissuaded me from going for it, and they said it would never work. And then I saw those concepts being used by other people, and I thought, well, do you know what, they weren't right on that. And I put it at the back of my mind that should I have another idea that I really felt I wanted to give it a go, I would listen to other people's opinion, but I wouldn't necessarily take it. And so I think there's a general rule, which is when in doubt, do it. Mm. If in doubt, do it. I think the other thing is, I would say, when people give you advice, and I mean, there's an old adage, when a friend succeeds, a little bit of me dies. I don't know if you've heard that before. So if you ask people, do you think I should do this? They may not mean to dissuade you, but I think once you think, you know, you've got it inside you, think, oh, I'm really excited by it, then I think back yourself and go for it. And then also surround yourself with people who are energy givers. And don't wait for all the information. I mean, try and get as much, you know, research done as possible. Try and work out a way to make it difficult for other people to come after you as well. So I think if you're going to chuck in your day job to go and set something up, you need to work out how can you scale it. Unless you're happy at being a lifestyle business, you need to think, how can I scale it, and how can I prevent other people coming in taking the space from me? And I suppose I always used to think of it a bit like a military thing, which is I used to think about competitors as the enemy, and how do you secure the key ground? How do you beat the enemy? I didn't think about it. I used to use the kill word, but that sounds a bit aggressive. How do you kill the enemy? I don't know. I think if you don't, the other thing is you've got to really enjoy it. You've got to think, is this something that I really like doing? Because there's no guarantee it's going to be successful. So you've got to enjoy the journey. So I think I'm glad I didn't do the first couple of business ideas I came up with, because I didn't really feel passion driven by those. And Go Ape for me in the end was the one which was the perfect job for somebody like me. I loved it. And in the early days when we weren't, you know, we were not successful, I just loved being in the woods and thinking, I can't believe I'm lucky enough to be able to do this. And then the success financially bit followed.
Yeah.
But mainly because I think we were just having such a good time. Customers quite liked joining in with that, and the sort of spreadsheet bit worked out in the end.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for your time. You're like super inspiring to be around, and always love our conversations.
Well, I think it's the other way around. I love being around you guys, and I'm delighted that I get a chance to go along in the journey, you know, another time. I thought that the end of handing over Go Ape, I knew I would miss not being in the day-to-day, but with the font and with Paddle Stars, it's really fun being back in the early days. And in fact, actually, you're well beyond startup now. You know, Palisades is really taking off. It's got a very bright future.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
And if you've enjoyed today's conversation and you would love to tune in again to hear more about Paddle, business, startups, you know what you need to do. Hit follow or subscribe, and we will see you on our next episode. Thank you.